The impact of the prison industrial complex doesn't end at the jailhouse door. Families are impacted by incarceration in ways that can last for years. KBOO's prison pipeline host, Karen James, spoke last night with Laura Speer, the associate director of the Annie E. Casey Foundation, about a new report on how prisons derail families.
So, Laura, the Annie E. Casey Foundation has been a longtime advocate for the well-being of children, and you are primarily responsible for the National Kids Count Project with the foundation. Talk about your work with the foundation.
Sure. The Annie Casey Foundation is a national foundation. We're based in Baltimore, Maryland, but we do focus on the issues specifically of kids. We're actually the largest foundation in the country that's focused on kids specifically. And we do that through a lens of really that kids can't really succeed unless their families are stable and healthy and they live in communities where they can really thrive, communities that are good places to raise kids. So although we are focused on kids, we really look at that in a very holistic way. The Kids Count work is actually the longest running project at Casey. We've been doing the Kids Count data book, our national data book, which actually the 2016 data book will be coming out in June. We've been doing that report since 1990. So most of the time, if anybody's heard about Kids Count, at the national level, they've heard about our state rankings that we do in terms of child well-being. And we've been doing it all this time because we really think that there's a real power in tracking children's well-being, in lifting up how states are doing in terms of supporting their kids, and doing that consistently over time. You know, we really believe that having solid, non-biased data to point to can help policymakers make better decisions that can better support kids and families.
Do the policymakers ask for these reports and follow your recommendations?
Well, sometimes. Because we've been doing Kids Count for so long, we're pretty well respected across the country. And, you know, of course, not with every single policymaker. And people are new every year coming into state legislatures and into city government. But we really do pride ourselves on using data that is non-biased. We get data from the federal statistical agencies or from the school departments. We don't create our own data sets. We, at the Casey Foundation, produce reports and data, but we also work with a network of organizations across the country who do the Kids Count work at the local level. In Oregon, it's Children First for Oregon, and we work with them to help them be able to gather data from state agencies and other local sources to be able to really provide information down to the local level so that if people are working, let's say, in a school district, testifying in front of a school board on a particular issue, they can actually go and find out how many kids are graduating on time in that school district or how many teen parents there are. And so we find that that data can really help people to be able to make their case for why it's important to invest in kids.
And speaking of reports, in April 2016, the Annie E. Casey Foundation released a report called A Shared Sentence, A Devastating Toll of Parental Incarceration on Kids, Families, and Communities. Laura, what prompted this report?
Well, we have, over the last few years, we've been releasing reports that are focused on policy issues that we think are critical for child well-being. And this particular issue, the issue of the impact of mass incarceration on kids, is something that we've been paying attention to for a long time. It's not a new phenomenon, certainly, but there's a lot of momentum around this topic, both at the national and the state level. And most of it has been focused on sentencing reform, which is absolutely the right thing to be focused on. It's important to stop the pipeline of people coming into prisons. But what we didn't hear within those debates and that conversation was, so why does it matter for the next generation? What's the impact of mass incarceration on kids and on their families? And so we spent some time taking a look at the most recent data and research that exists out there around this topic. And what we found is that having a parent in prison can have major devastating effects on kids, and that there's really been a whole generation of children who have been severely impacted by the mass incarceration that's happened in our country. there's a lot that happens to kids in terms of their own kind of their own development. Having a parent in prison creates a big vacuum in a child's life. They often suffer a sentence along with their parents. Many of them feel very isolated. They feel that there's no other kids or other people that they know that are having the same thing happen to them. A lot of times they feel ashamed that they have a parent in prison. And so this tends to really isolate them from their other kids and other the support systems that they need where they live. And some of the research even said that having a parent locked up is a traumatic experience equal to some forms of child abuse, domestic violence, divorce. So it really can have significant impacts on really the child's healthy development, which is why it matters so much to us.
And your report says that nationally, over 5 million kids have had a parent in jail or prison at some point in their childhood. That's a lot of kids.
Yeah, it is. It is about 7% of all kids in the country. And it's actually, we expect that that's a pretty low conservative estimate because it only captures those children who have had a parent who was incarcerated in their lifetime, but it was a parent who had lived with them at some point. So it's likely that there are many more children who have had a parent who they never lived with that parent, but the parent has been in prison. So, which has lots of implications, even though that parent didn't live with that child, the likelihood that they would have been able to be more connected to the parent if they were not in prison is a lot higher. So that 5 million number we think is a fairly low estimate. It's actually probably even higher than that.
Kids with parents in prison, they are impacted in nearly every aspect of their lives. Talk a little bit more about some of these unique stressors for children of prisoners.
We know that there are certainly major emotional implications for a child. The child's life becomes more unstable. Thinking about financially, we know that there's a pretty substantial impact. Losing a parent, especially one that's a breadwinner for a prolonged period of time, really puts families in a place where they're really scrambling to cover their basic needs. And on top of that, there's legal fees, there's court fees. So one report estimated that 65% of families with a member in prison can't meet their basic needs. That's 2 out of 3 of families who have somebody in prison are having a hard time making ends meet. And another estimate suggested that when fathers are incarcerated, the average family income drops by about a quarter, about 22%. So it's a pretty dramatic economic impact on that family. And then on top of that, one of the things that we uncovered, and this is kind of connected to some of our recommendations on what can be done to lessen the impact on children, is the fact that oftentimes people are put in prison places that are very far from where they live and where their families remain most of the time. So in order to get to visit that person or even to stay in contact with them, it costs money. There are some of the families that we talked to, you know, estimated that it would literally have been hundreds of dollars for them to be able to visit their family member who was incarcerated with their kids, you know, because they needed to pay for transportation, they needed to get a hotel room in order to stay overnight because it was too far to be able to drive. They, you know, if they didn't have a car, they had to pay for the bus. So the cost, and then there's the legal fees, which are most of the time pretty substantial that families undertake. So there's definitely an economic impact on children. And we know from the research that when kids are in economically unstable households, that impacts their development in a lot of different ways, especially when they are, you know, very low-income households, when they're below the poverty line. There's plenty of research to show the ways that can impact a child's development, and it's not positive.
Does your report talk about a parent or a family member stepping in versus a child going to the foster care system?
We did talk a little bit about that. I think certainly that becomes a major issue, especially when mothers are incarcerated.
Right.
And actually, one of the things that we lifted up in our report is that the likelihood that a child is impacted is higher in states where female incarceration rates are higher. So places like Oklahoma, which has the highest female incarceration rate, has got a one of the highest rates of kids impacted by parental incarceration. So especially the way that we measured it here, which is the resident parent. But oftentimes, if it's a single parent and that person gets put into the prison system, oftentimes there are relatives that will step in. Many times they won't officially go into the foster care system, and they'll kind of go into this informal system of foster care, which means often that they don't get any help with paying for having that child in their household. And many of them are grandparents who may be on a fixed income. So for them, having the extra economic stress of taking care of that child can be really difficult. We are strong believers in the fact that if children can stay with their families, they're going to be better off. That going into the foster care system, especially if they go in and they have to go into a group home or something like that, is not going to be the best outcome for that child. That they're generally better off if they can stay with their families. But there needs to be some recognition that it's expensive and that those family members need to be supported in some ways to help them be able to take care of that child.
And I've read that incarcerated fathers make up 90% of incarcerated parents. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's about right. That's right.
Talk more about the difference for the child depending on whether the mother and father is incarcerated.
Right. If it's a single-parent household and that parent gets put into the prison system, that child is, it has a major impact on their lives. If it's a parent who is less engaged with that child and maybe not living with the child at the time, but they may be financially supporting the child and interacting with them in some way, you know, that has a different kind of an impact. You know, the other thing I think that is important, even if the parent was not living with the child when they were incarcerated, and even if the relationship was not as, you know, strong as maybe we would have liked it to be, that having that parent incarcerated still has a big impact on the child. And it really does create a vacuum for them in terms of not having a parent. I mean, it's really as if they've lost their parent completely. It's a real hole in their lives.
And Laura, often when an uninvolved parent does go to prison, they decide to begin to reach out to their children.
Some definitely certainly do that. I think there's also the flip side of that, which is that fathers and mothers who have been incarcerated have got very mixed feelings about bringing their kids back into their lives or bringing them into their current situation within the prisons. That most of the time, I think, you know, one of the things that we lifted up here as a real issue is that the visiting rooms within prisons are not places most of the time that are suitable for children. A lot of parents decide, I don't want my kid coming in this place, and choose to, you know, to detach in lots of ways. And oftentimes they can't even do phone calls because the phone calls tend to be, in some places, extraordinarily expensive. There's actually all kinds of extra fees that are put on calls that are made into the prison system, so families can't even afford to call. So, you know, I think it has mixed impacts depending on the family situation.
I'm Karen James, and I'm speaking with Laura Speer, Associate Director at the Annie E. Casey Foundation, and we're discussing mass incarceration in the United States and its impact on children.
This is KBOO Portland. Coming up next, we have Preference Radio. This program has been made possible in part by the KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Radio Cab, serving the metro area since 1946, with service 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Radio Cab offers airport service, wheelchair accessible vans, and can be reached at 503-227-1212. In Vancouver at 360-694-1234 or radiocab.net. This program has also been made possible by Portland's Gay Directory, providing a resource guide of openly gay-friendly businesses, organizations, and services since 1996. New smartphone app available for all iPhones and Androids. For more information, you can visit gaypdx.com.